Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Praise the Lord. Your name be lifted up. Your name be exalted. And we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Lord, you're here. And where you are, everything we need is peace, joy, hope, freedom, healing, restoration we need is here. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, speak to us, because your word is powerful. Your word is effective to change us, to inspire us, to build us up. Lord, we look forward to hearing from you this morning. We thank you because when our hearts are open, you speak to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. There are people who are joining us online. We also want to welcome you in a special way. Can we give them a shout, please, everybody? Hey, you're welcome. Wonderful. Oh, you're good students. You're good people. You do what I tell you to do, exactly what I tell you to do. Wonderful. Wow, it's a joy to stand before you this morning, to share God's word with you. And at the beginning of this year, we introduced our theme for 2020. Do you remember what our theme for this year is? Okay, let's say it together. Okay, there are some of you who have forgotten. Oh, you've not been coming to church since 2020 began. Let's say it together, the kingdom of God first. Let's say it like we mean it. The kingdom of God first. Yes, that's better. God's kingdom first. God's reign. God's rule. God's dominion. And you know, the kingdom of God is where his will is done. And this past weekend, last weekend rather, we heard from Pastor Julius on video, and he talked about the fact that as Watoto Church, we exist for the kingdom mandate. We exist to fulfill the mandate that God has given us to extend, to expand his kingdom. But also, each one of us has a specific assignment to fulfill in carrying out that mandate. You have a specific assignment from God. You have a specific role to play in fulfilling that mandate that God has given us. And by the way, the mandate that God has given us, the kingdom mandate, is to bring healing to the cities and the nations. And simply, that is, we exist to bring transformation, to cause transformation in the cities and the nations. So you have a part to play. However, none of us can fulfill our role. None of us can fulfill successfully our assignment. And even corporately, we will not be able to carry out our mandate unless we work together, unless we stand together, unless we are united. So relationships matter. Unity matters. Today, I want to talk about one of the weapons of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God has weapons. That those who belong to the kingdom, and if you're born again, if you've given your life to Jesus, you belong to the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, you're a citizen of the kingdom. I know, you know, I am a citizen of Uganda, and some of you are citizens of other countries. But I tell you what, we who have given our lives to Jesus have another and more important citizenship. That is, we belong to the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about one of the weapons that are at our disposal as people who belong to the kingdom of God. But before I talk about that weapon that we have as people who belong to the kingdom of God, it is obvious that from time to time, we face situations that overwhelm us. We face situations that scare us. We face situations that frighten us. We face situations that seem impossible to deal with, impossible to solve, impossible to overcome. And some situations are bad. They are bad situations. Others are not necessarily bad. It could even be a dream that God has given you, a vision He has given you. And when you think about the vision He has given you, oh, you wonder, will it ever come to pass? Will it ever become a reality? Could be a desire that God has placed in your heart as an individual or maybe as a family. And when you think about it, you wonder, will it ever come to pass? Because it seems too big for you to carry it out. It seems too big for you to fulfill it. It seems too big for you to execute it. And different people respond differently when they are facing overwhelming situations. Some people run away. Some people give up. Some people, they run to others. They seek help from others. They run to others to seek help from them. And that is not bad. It's okay to turn to someone when you don't know what to do about the situation you're facing. It's okay. But sometimes people let us down, as you know. Sometimes people fail us. Sometimes people misadvise us. Personally, my natural tendency when I'm facing a situation that is overwhelming is to keep quiet. I know some of you don't believe I sometimes keep quiet. Because you think I talk a lot. When I'm faced with a situation that is overwhelming, I tend to keep quiet, withdraw from people, and keep quiet. Also tend, naturally, to try my best to solve that problem, to solve that issue. I try my best to find a solution to what I'm facing. That is how I tend to respond when I'm facing a situation that is overwhelming. You know how you tend to respond when you're facing an overwhelming situation. But here's the thing I want to encourage every one of you this morning to do. When you're facing a situation that is overwhelming, you need to turn to God in prayer. The first thing to do when you don't know what to do, when you're confused about that situation, when you are scared, when you are frightened, when you are fearful, hey, when you are in doubt about whether the dream God has given you, whether that desire He has placed in your heart, whether that vision He has given you, when you're in doubt about it becoming a reality, do you know what? Do you know the right thing to do? The right thing to do is to turn to God in prayer. So this morning, I want to talk about prayer, an effective kingdom weapon. Prayer, an effective kingdom weapon. You know why? Because when we pray, hey, we receive assurance that all things are possible with God. You know, there's nothing that is impossible with God. There are things that are impossible to me. There are things that I can do, and there are things I cannot do. There are things you can do, and there are things you cannot do. There are situations you can handle, but there are situations you cannot handle. And I tell you what, that is the point at which you need God's help. You need God's intervention. Because to God, nothing is impossible. To God, nothing is too difficult. To God, nothing is too hard. To God, no mountain is insurmountable. Because He is God. And you know, the Bible tells us that the prayer of the righteous man, the prayer of the righteous woman. Now, the Bible does not say the prayer of a sinless woman, the prayer of a sinless man. You know, if you have given your life to Jesus, you have been made right with God. And God has given you His righteousness. You are righteous before God. So the prayer of you who are righteous is powerful and effective. James chapter 5. There are people who turn to God in prayer. They called on God when they faced difficult situations in their lives. One of them is Esther and the Jews in the Persian kingdom. Remember, a decree had been issued to eliminate, to destroy, to kill all the Jews in the Persian kingdom at one time. And Esther and Mordecai realized if they did not pray, they were going to be annihilated. The Jews were going to be killed, were going to be destroyed. There was going to be a massacre. So they turned to God and prayed. They mobilized the people to pray and fast. And you know what God did? God came to their rescue. God delivered them. Prayer is the effective weapon. It's one of the effective weapons of God's kingdom. Also, Hannah, who did not have a child, and she was despised for a long time by her co-wife. So, as Ugandans, we pronounce the name of that lady who despised Hannah, Penina. But I know people from the US, from the UK, from Australia, from Scotland, they pronounce it as Penina. But Penina gave Hannah headache. She looked down on Hannah because Hannah was barren. And Penina had children. I tell you, Hannah turned to God in prayer, called on the name of the Lord. And God blessed her with Samuel, who became the prophet, and also other children, apostles. One time, Peter and John were going into the temple, and they see, Pastor Philip, a lame beggar at the gate called Beautiful? And he was expecting a coin, a penny from them, some money, dollars or Uganda shillings from them. But they didn't have money. But what they had was the power to heal that Jesus had given them. So when they healed the lame beggar, they thought everybody was going to celebrate. Whoa, what a good God. Whoa, what a powerful God they have. They serve. No. The Jewish leaders rose up against them and arrested Peter and John and put them in prison because they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they told them, when they arrested them, they said to them, whose authority are you proclaiming that name? We hate that name. We don't want that name. And they ordered them not to preach the name of Jesus again, not to proclaim the name of Jesus again. But Peter and John, who were full of the Holy Spirit, said, you will judge for yourselves whether we will stop preaching the gospel or not. And when they released them, they warned them never to proclaim the name of Jesus. And so the apostles went back to other disciples, the church, and told them, hey, we have been warned never to proclaim the name of Jesus again. You know what the church did? The church prayed. The church called on the name of Jesus. I could go on and give examples of people in the Bible who turned to God in prayer when they were facing overwhelming situations. But those are enough to tell you, when you're facing a situation that is overwhelming, the right thing to do is to turn to God in prayer. Prayer is an effective weapon of the kingdom at our disposal. So I want us to turn to someone whose life was marked by prayer in the Old Testament. That man is Nehemiah. I'll read some portions of chapter 1, some portions of chapter 2, and some portions of chapter 4. And then we will pray. We want to pray. We want to talk to God about the things He has placed in our hearts. Dreams, desires, visions. We also want to pray about the situations we are facing. Could be a situation of illness, a financial crisis, a relational crisis, whatever it is. But also want to pray that God, who has given us the vision of bringing healing to the cities and the nations, that God will make that vision a reality. We also have, as a church, the goal to plant 36 campuses in and around Kampala. So far we have 13, and I think how many more? 23 more, you know, in the next 15 years. I tell you, all things are possible with God. You know why? Because even organizations face overwhelming situations. When things are not going well in your organization, where you work, when things are not going well in your business, when things are not going well in your company, as a child of God, the right thing to do is to pray on behalf of your organization, is to pray on behalf of your company, is to pray on behalf of that government office you serve in. That is the right thing to do, because prayer is the kingdom's effective weapon. Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakal. Let me read it again. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, that is November, between November and December, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel, that is the fortress of Susa. Susa was the Persian capital. It was the capital of the Persian kingdom, empire then. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. He was heartbroken over the state in which Jerusalem lay. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I say, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.'" He was referring to the king he was serving. And he concludes, "I was cupbearer to the king." Nehemiah was born in exile, and he served the king as his cupbearer, the one who served the king wine. It was a prestigious position, a prestigious role in the palace. When he had the news that Jerusalem had been burnt down and the wall had been destroyed, he was heartbroken. Why was he heartbroken? It's because the fact that the Israelites, the fact that the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed meant the Israelites were vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. The Israelites were not safe. They were insecure. Anything could happen to them. But also, the destruction of the temple was a disgrace to the Jews. And you know the reason Jerusalem was attacked by the Babylonian army, and the city was burnt down and the walls were burnt down, it was because of the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. And they were taken into captivity. And as God had promised that after 70 years, they would return to their own land, that happened. So some people at this point had returned there, but the city had not been rebuilt. Walls had not been rebuilt. And so he was heartbroken. And God impressed upon his heart to go to Judah, to go to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. God gave him a vision. God gave him a mission. But I tell you what, it was a daunting task. to rebuild the burnt down city, to rebuild the broken walls. It was a task that was humanly impossible. That's why Nehemiah needed God's favor. First of all, because he worked for the king, he needed favor so he could go, he could travel to Jerusalem. He needed favor from God before the king to release him. He also needed resources to rebuild the broken walls. Let me tell you, friends, when we are facing a situation that is overwhelming, we need to turn to God in prayer. When you don't know what to do about the dream God has given you, when you don't know what to do about the desire God has given you, when you don't know about what God wants you to do to impact someone's life, hey, turn to God in prayer. Pray. Pray for favor. Pray for resources. Pray for support. Prayer is an effective weapon of God's kingdom, and it is at our disposal. Nehemiah turned to God in prayer. Chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, that's between March and April, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill, Nehemiah? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I say to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been burned, have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want? Are you seeing God's favor now?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Here is a man on a mission. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take? And when will you get back?" Because he was a good man, a good servant. They wanted to be sure he was coming back. "It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also say to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, of the fortress by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me," God's favor was on him, "the king granted my requests. So I went." Come on, you can give Jesus a hand clap of thanksgiving for what he did to Nehemiah. "So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry, that is horsemen, with me for his protection." By the way, so you appreciate God's favor on this man's life. This was a heathen king. He was not a God-fearing man. Where he served, Persia was a heathen nation. It was a heathen kingdom. I tell you what, Nehemiah turned to God in prayer for favor before the king to be released to go to Jerusalem and for protection and for resources he needed to rebuild Jerusalem. And God moved. God moved the heart of the king and the queen. Oh, can I tell you something? God can use anyone to support you. God can use anyone to provide what you need. God is able to make a way even where there seems to be no way. God is able to open doors that you are not imagining will open right now. God is able because nothing is impossible with our God. No situation overwhelms God. No situation is too big for God to deal with. No situation is too big for God to tackle. No problem is too big for God to solve. God has the answer to every problem. God has a way out of every situation because He is God. He is God. And that is the God we know. That is the God we worship. That is the God we believe in. That is the God we honor. It's not, I'm not talking about another God. I'm talking about the God you know. I'm talking about the God who is in you. I'm talking about the God who has saved you. I'm talking about the God who has redeemed you. I'm talking about the God who calls you by name. That is the God I'm talking about. What is impossible with man is not impossible with God. Paul says, instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, instead of being fearful, instead of doubting, the right thing to do is to pray about anything and everything with thanksgiving. You know what will happen? When you pray and you are in doubt, doubt has crept into your mind, has filled your mind. When you're overwhelmed, when you're frightened, when you're fearful, and you pray, you know what will happen? God will give you His peace. God will give you His peace, rest. That's why it's important to pray. You can read at your own time, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 to 7. Let me tell you, what the church, from the time it was planted, has faced overwhelming situations. When what the church needed to move out of the Grand Imperial in the 80s, the Grand Imperial, which was not grand then, because of the anarchy in this nation those days, when the church needed bigger space, by faith, the founders of Watoto Church came here. Pastor Gary walked into this building, and this building was occupied by the National Army. That was brutal. It was ruthless. In those days, if you looked at the soldier, if you stared at the soldier, that would land you into trouble. These days you can stare at the soldier, no problem. You can even wave, you know, you can wave to the soldier and no problem. Those days if you waved, you'd receive a beating or end up in jail. Those are stories people, you know, who experienced that tell me. It was bad days. Pastor Gary walks in here, and what does he see? He sees God's people, thousands of people, lifting their hands to Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And today, that is a reality. You know what? When Watoto Church, KPC then, Kampala Pentecostal Church, moved in here, it has never left here. This property belongs to us. It was as a result of praying for property, praying for a facility. And when they moved in here, when the church moved in here, the church prayed to own this building. With God, nothing is impossible. The first choir that we sent to Canada had no money for air tickets. There was no cash in hand. There was no cash in the bank. But the church prayed. And God opened the doors. Mama Marilyn Skinner went to the British ticket. Are they called ticket or whatever? I think booking office, British Airways. Yes, British Airways office, and said, "We are taking the choir to Canada." They said, "Where is the money?" "The money will come." And they got their tickets on credit, air tickets on credit, and God provided. I'm telling you, prayer works. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer works. I need to close. But let me also share my own story. I badly needed to go to school, high school, badly needed, but my circumstances were telling me it's impossible. But God opened the door for me to start high school, and at some point, I almost dropped out of school. Everybody, my colleagues, my classmates, my schoolmates went back to school, and I was still at home. And I remember one morning, I started crying out to God. I cried out to God. I was crying out to God in my heart, but also tears were literally rolling down my cheeks before God, and God saw those tears because I was praying to Him. I was calling on His name. My brother, the one I follow, laughed at me. But I tell you what, the blessing of God came to me. And God miraculously provided for me to finish high school. I had no one who was responsible to pay my tuition, but God was responsible. So I turned to God in prayer. Finally, chapter 4, Nehemiah. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, Sanballat, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised." That was Nehemiah's prayer. "Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. Reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. God granted Nehemiah success, even in the face of opposition. Listen, the devil is never happy when he sees that God is doing something in your life. God is doing something in your family. God is doing something at your workplace, in your company, in your organization, in your farm that will bring God glory. The devil is never excited about it. The devil rose up against Nehemiah and the people with whom he was rebuilding the broken walls of Jerusalem, using non-Jews, Sanballat and Tobiah. In fact, at some point they wanted to kill him. They wanted to lure him into a trap where they would kill him. But I tell you what, Nehemiah turned to God in prayer. Nehemiah did not go to Sanballat and Tobiah and say, "Who do you think you are? Don't you know I have high-level connections? Don't you know I am an aide to the king?" Nehemiah turned to God. Listen to me, our help comes from God. Listen to me, our victory comes from God. The courage we need, because God gave Nehemiah and the people he worked with to rebuild the temple courage. He gave them resilience. I tell you, they became fearless in the face of opposition. I'm here to tell you, God will make you fearless in the face of opposition. He will make you strong. He will strengthen you. He will give you victory, because our God is victor. He is a conqueror. Woo! Our God is a winner. And because He's the winner, you who are on the side of God are a winner too. You are. Worship team, you can come back. I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe as an individual, maybe as a family. What situation are you facing right now? Hey, you have a dream. You have a desire. You have a vision God has given you. There's something you want to start. Maybe you want to start your own company, your own organization, whatever it is. What is it that God has placed in your hand? Turn to God in prayer and talk to Him about it. Because the same God who granted Nehemiah success will grant you too success. The same God who granted Nehemiah a breakthrough will grant you too a breakthrough. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Listen to me. Even Jesus, when he was facing the cross, knew the importance of prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me, but not my will, but yours be done." What was he doing? He was talking to God, because the thought of hanging on the cross was overwhelming. In fact, the Bible says, sweat like the drops of blood. You remember, he sweated blood literally. And we are told that the angel came and strengthened Jesus. Do you need strength in that situation you're facing? It comes from God. That's why you need to turn to God in prayer. Do you need hope? Turn to God in prayer. And here is the good news. Because Jesus went through the things we are going through, because Jesus understands our weaknesses, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We are not alone.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.